Please turn with me to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 44. Lord's Day 44, we are going to reflect on the Catechism's treatment of the last commandment, the 10th commandment. And that's found on page 29, and I'll go over to page 30. Can I get a water too, Caleb? Can I get a water too? Thanks. My mouth is really dry. All right. Page 29, Lord's Day 44. Question and answer 113 and onward. What does the 10th commandment require? That not even the least inclination or thought against any commandment of God ever enter our heart, but that with whole heart, we can hate all sin and take pleasure in all righteousness. Can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, all beginning of such obedience, yet so that with earnest purpose they begin to live not only according to some, but according to all of the commandments of God. Why then does God so strictly enjoin the Ten Commandments upon us, since in this life no one can keep them? First, that as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may be renewed more and more, and after the image of God, until we obtain the goal of perfection after this life. Okay. So the Catechism does two things. It goes over briefly on the 10th commandment of covetousness, and then it goes into these very reasonable questions about how we are to live according to the Ten Commandments, and how we are to view the Ten Commandments, even in light of none of us can perfectly measure up, even as Christians, to obey these Ten Commandments. So first of all, covetousness. Covetousness is very interesting because, in one sense, it's the sin that covers all the other commandments, because it's an issue of the heart. Covetousness is our heart condition that we fail to be content with what God has given us, that we need to reach and grab what isn't ours, or what belongs to someone else, and so we are filled with envy, and we are filled just being unsatisfied, and it's a never-ending hunger of wanting more. That never gets satisfied. Now, there's nothing wrong with desiring. You know, I desire to own a house one day. You know, there's nothing wrong with that desire. But if I'm coveting someone else's house or someone else's position, that they have more money than me, that they have all these stuff that I want, that's a heart of discontentment. And that's really the opposite of covetousness. The opposite of covetousness is contentment, which Paul tells us, I have found the secret of that contentment. I've had much and I've had less. I've had nothing and I've had everything. The secret is because of Christ who strengthens me. And right before he says, he talks about how he gives everything to God in prayer. And so that is a big part of how we combat this sin of covetousness, because it is everywhere. I mean, our economy kind of feeds off of your covetousness with commercials. You know, this is what you don't have. This is why you need it. The latest and the hottest item on the market, the iPhone 12, and you know, however high it's gonna go. iPhone 100, who knows? But but it's always the next best thing that our economy kind of preys on, or at least the commercialism of our economy preys upon. And so we have to watch our hearts, because this commandment, when we give in to covetousness, it affects our relationship with God, but it also affects our relationship with our neighbors. So we must watch our heart for that. And in questions 114 and 115, I think it's very encouraging. At least I hope you take encouragement away from these two questions. Because it asks, even can those who are converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? Well, no. That's not the point. God knows that we will always fall short. That's why we have Christ, who satisfies the full demands of the law in our place, and we place our trust in him. But that doesn't mean we don't strive for perfection. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, Jesus says. But in that journey of putting our sin to death, checking our hearts for our idols and all these things that we're trying to push down and push away, we see Christ as even more valuable, as even more treasurable, because of what he has done for us. And so that communing with Christ, that is the point. Even as we fall short of living our lives pleasing to God, even Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, commending the church for being faithful to their calling. And he says, do this more and more. That is sort of the attitude that we are to strive for, that we are always to strive to please God even more. And then 115 concludes with this question: why then does God strictly enjoin the Ten Commandments upon us, since he knows that we can't keep it, basically? But it's because it drives us to seek the forgiveness and to take refuge in our Lord Jesus Christ more and more and more. And knowing that what God has said in his word is he's given us his spirit. He walks with us. We're not just here just pulling up ourselves from our bootstraps. You know, it is the Spirit of God who is within us, reminds us of what Christ has done for us, and provides that fellowship and provides us that strength and perseverance that we will reach the end by his grace. And so, if you feel discouraged in your life, maybe, oh, I haven't read my Bible this week, or I just, all this happened of, you know, getting into these fights with, you know, my spouse and children and all these things, and I'm a miserable, you know, hypocrite. Well, you're in the right place. And that conviction ultimately is from the Spirit to point you to find your refuge in him and in Christ. And even in this life, we only get the beginnings, and I love that phrase, we only get the beginnings of such obedience. Even the holiest of men, the John Calvins and the Luthers that we look up to, even them in their best days is nothing more than the beginnings of being righteous and living a holy life. And so I hope that encourages you. So let's conclude our summary of Lord's Day 44 with that.